Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Hey, it's Adam Carolla. You may know him from putting his body on the line in Jackass, but now Johnny Knoxville is bringing you the wildest stories from the bravest folks he knows on his newest podcast, Pretty Sure I Can Fly. With his co-host, Elna Baker, they have incredible firsthand accounts from folks who surfed 100-foot waves, ride 600 miles per hour in a rocket sled, and wrestle crocodiles just for fun. They've been talking with brave souls who throw caution to the wind and push the boundaries of what humans are capable of. Or, as Johnny would say, they're talking to people who have more balls than a bowling alley. I'm Pretty Sure I Can Fly, Johnny and Elna bring you personal stories from unsung heroes that are part comedy, part adrenaline, and all heart. These are the inspirational, hold my beer stories that will make you want to grab the bull by the horns, literally and figuratively. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcast. You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly right now, early and free, right now on Wondery Plus. Well, lots of comedy and lots of rants. We'll tell you the state of the first-class airline union, which is not good, people. And a nice dishwasher rant coming as well. First, I'll tell you about Bet Online. That's right. Football. It's back. You want to do a little betting this year? Got a lot of good games coming up. I mean, Sunday we got Falcons at Cowboys. I like the Cowboys there. Bills, Dolphins, Vikings, Colts, Panthers, Buccaneers, Seahawks, and Patriots. That's a tough one to call. Rams, Eagles, more options to wager on than any place online, from spreads and totals to props. You can get in on season opening bonuses and wager on win and division championship futures. All coming up at betonline.ag. Head to BetOnline today. Take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses and do it today, everybody. Visit betonline.ag, betonline.ag, our exclusive partner, Podcast One. Don't forget promo code Podcast One. Sign up for your bonus today at betonline.ag.
From Chris Loxamana's hotel room in Nashville, Tennessee, and brought to you by Bet Online, this is the Adam Carolla Show. With Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and Jeff Cesario with the sports. And now, happy to be in a state that's not on fire, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on. A choice, but to get it on. Mandate, get it on, and welcome to the show, everyone. I'm Adam Carolla out here in Nashville, Tennessee. I'm in Chris Maxipata's room, and the fun's going to start after the show, sunshine. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
Handball, Brian.
Sometimes less is more.
I will tell you, good on the fly there. Boy, I got to tell you, first class air travel. We have now officially bottomed out. Like, this is the bottom of first class. Let me explain my first class travel over here.
Well, first of all, you stole Chris's ticket, so start there.
I stole Chris's ticket.
You didn't turn left or right. You turned down.
I got to tell you, his Coach Plus experience was no different than my first class experience, and I'll ask him about that. So flew first class out here to Tennessee, Delta, last night. First things first, I know we've discussed this before. Shouldn't there be some mechanism when you go to the Delta terminal and LAX and you need to take a bus to go all the way around LAX to another point that's as far away as you can get from where you are?
The gate annex that's like only accessible by bus.
Shouldn't they put like a little green check mark on your ticket or something that connotes that? Because
it would be nice. It's another 45 minutes.
Right. It's like, what are you doing? Or we're leaving Delta. Oh, Delta's first up at LAX. Oh, good. We'll just get dropped off at Delta. Okay. What's our gate? Gate 135. Okay. I'm going to go hang out in the captain's lounge until it's time to walk downstairs and hop on my flight. And then at some point, somebody goes, are you on the bus? And you go, wait a minute, I'm the captain's lounge.
No,
I go,
in a plane.
No, you got to get on the bus. You're nowhere near. And I'm like, then it's like, well, what time is it? Oh, you better hustle. And it's like, why can't that be discussed in advance? Now, I guess it's happened to me a couple of times. And I guess you could say, I should say, are we getting on the shuttle? But you're so used to being dropped off at the gate, or you know, dropped off in that the Delta, like you're not used to going to Southwest and then getting on a bus and going somewhere else. So
no, and you would sound insane if every time you got on a plane you said, "Is there a bus involved?"
Right.
So they have 30 gates, two of which are in the annex, or whatever the ratio is, 32-4. Feel free to mention if something out of the ordinary.
Right. Yeah. So there is the bus ride to the other place, and it always kind of catches you by surprise, and you have to hustle out. Now, we got on the flight. I swapped my ticket out with Max Zapata. I had my first class ticket, but here is the state of the union of first class air flight. Now, I got a first off for dinner. This is a nighttime flight. This flight took off at 5:30 in the evening LA time. So that traditionally would mean, would you like the chicken or the steak or the fish, you know, with the serving cart and everything. I'm like, there are flights, I get it. They're like red eye flights or real early morning flights. They're flights you get on the flight at 12, you get on the flight at 10:30 at night, and they just shut the lights off and go to bed. I get it. This is 5:30. This is prime time, dinner, serving time, drinks and dinner. There was a box. I was handed a box for dinner. I will tell you what was inside of the box. The box for dinner. The box, by the way, I've been eating some sushi boxes on the ground and some other
fantastic
ground boxes have upped their game 5,000%. Yep. There's a lot of good box eating on the ground. Not so much box eating in the air. You know what I'm talking about, Gina.
Right, Gina?
Right. Yeah, that's right.
You want to join the half mile high club? Okay. Eat a box in the air. So I look down at my box. The contents of my box are, and no box, by the way, these are for adults in first class. This is in lieu of the serving cart where you have the choice between the shrimp and the steak. Wheat thins, mini bag of wheat thins, miniature bag of wheat thins.
A little appetizer.
And also tell me tell me how Vinny would feel about this box. Mini bag of wheat thins. Mini bag of goldfish.
Oh,
this is special needs shit at this point. Like when you run a daycare center for kids with a learning disability, this is what you give them. And by the way, if you gave them this for lunch, their parents would be pissed.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
There was the vegetables.
Mini sack of wheat thins, mini sack of goldfish. By the way, this is on Delta. This isn't like you flying Chet Air. The guy named Chet started his own airline after he won the lottery, after he sold his dad's Corvette. Like, this is Delta. Mini bag of cheese. All right. Miniature container. I don't even know what to call it. You know those little plastic containers that butter comes in when you go to a diner?
Like the little,
you peel off the top?
There's just enough for that one little patch.
Just enough. That was the cheese-like product that you could take the wheat thins and wipe it up with. No cheese, no solid cheese, no little pieces of cheese, nothing.
Yank my kid out of this preschool so fast.
Weird little cheese container. I mean, the thing was 3/8 of an inch deep. It was the size of a silver dollar, and it was enough to butter up 1.5 wheat thins. Pepperidge Farms Mint Milano thing.
Jesus, where's the protein?
Fine, but it's like a ball of carbs. And last but not least, a miniature sack of Skittles. What?
For dessert?
Yeah. Okay, Marshawn. Like what screams not flying in first class like eating a miniature sack of Skittles? That, by the way, the mini sack of Skittles is what you get when you're trick-or-treating to the guy in the bad apartment unit and you're pissed off about, right? Like literally, you know, Three Musketeers bar, Snickers bar, Buttercup, anything bar. Miniature pack. So far, all sugar and carbs, 50 cents. I mean, when you break this shit down by unit, a miniature sack of Skittles is 3 cents for that airline. The mini sack of Wheat Thins is 4.5 cents. I mean, there's literally 50 cents worth of food in the dinner box. Now, you know, we've all done like the hummus thing where it's like, I've got some hummus, got some vegetables. We can dunk it in a hummus. Like
protein pack. Yeah. Like some salami.
Some cheese and salami. No, that's it. That's it. That's a little box full of sugar and flour, and it's 50 cents. That is first class. Yes, Brian?
What's the best case scenario for the box? They hand you a box where you're like, oh, God, please be blank inside. I'm thinking like a wrap.
Or like a ciabatta, you know, like sandwich, a nice sandwich. Yeah.
And that's the best case scenario.
The protein thing where they have like the cheese and the meat or something is fine. Oh, this had a weird, very small generic pack of salami that tasted weird. Like that is true. To their credit, it was 9 cents worth of bad salami. So
Jesus,
it was like,
if that was first class, did they make Chris eat his own foot?
I am a little jealous. I got my pack was they gave me a plastic baggie full of it had a small bag of Cheez-Its, a little bag of cookies and a water.
Oh, yeah. That's it. All right, so. So
fire
then,
festival over here.
So then after eating this thing, and it's so sad, like you open the pack and you're like, God damn, this is embarrassing. I'm not going to. And then you finish off everything that's in the box.
Sure.
That's how
you don't have a choice.
That's human nature. Yeah. And it's all bad for you and it's all horrible. And it's all empty calories. And then at a certain point, and this I've never experienced in first class. I said she came by. Also, our stewardess are. Our flight attendant was not slowing down. She was just like walking past us every time and like not being our first class flight attendant at all. By the way, I've said this a million times. Once you announce safety in front of something, you can do whatever you want or not do anything you don't want. Like once you go like it's a safety issue. Now that is your excuse for not doing anything you're supposed to do. Safety.
There's no argument for that.
So we get no drinks, no attention. No one slows down. No one talks to us. Two things that have never happened to me before. At some point, Matt, DeAndrea, who's sitting on the aisle, flags down someone who's from the other cabin and says, could I order a drink? And she goes, yeah, what do you want? He goes, an IPA. And she goes, okay, and walks away. Doesn't look at me, doesn't ask. I'm just sitting there drinkless right next to him. Doesn't go, what do you want? This is 2 hours into the flight. But at a certain point, the woman comes around and she says, would you like something to drink? And I said, I will take a vodka, soda, and lemon or lime, whatever you have. And she goes, we don't have vodka. We don't have any liquor. We don't have any hard liquor, anything at all.
Wow.
And I said, no little mini bottles of like Grey Goose? She's like, no. And I go, okay, what do you have? We have wine in a miniature plastic bottle, super unappetizing. And by the way, all plastic cups. So you can drink your plastic bottled wine out of your plastic cup that your hand will, you'll implode the cup. So I go, okay, well, why don't you just give me the soda water then on ice? And she goes, we don't have soda water.
Oh my God.
And I said, wow. You have, I didn't want it, but I'm fishing, right? I go, you got Sprite, right? They got like soda, like Sprite and Coke. She's like, no. I'm like, you don't have soda? I thought there was this like an FAA problem here. Like, we're flying without soda? What if my son was on this flight? She's like, no. I go, what do you have to drink on this flight? She goes, we have an IPA, we have bottled wine, and we have water. And I said, there's no, that's it. There's nothing else. He said, nothing else. And I'm like, okay, I get it. Like there's a pandemic and you're, you know, cutting corners and tightening belts and stuff. But first class, you're flying first class Delta on a 4 hour flight, maybe 4 hour plus to Nashville. There's not a, like, don't people get upset stomachs and want to settle their stomachs and they drink a 7-Up or soda water?
Ginger ale. What if someone
spills one of the plastic wines on their blouse? Don't we have to use the soda water to get it out? It's like, we don't have it.
Adam, I had a very different outlook on my flight, yet an extremely similar experience. because I sat in the next comfort plus seats. And it pretty much is first class because they don't seat the middle seats on a plane, so which is great. And then the last few times that we've flown, they've only served water. So when the guy in front of me got a beer, I got really excited. I thought, oh my God, they have beer here? I'm going to buy this beer. I know I'm supposed to be in first class, but I will pay for this beer happily. And they gave it to me for free because we share the same stewardess. So it was our stewardess.
You got a free beer.
Yeah. And I had the games going. It was wonderful. I was watching the Titans game in a Tennessee plane.
Yeah, so beautiful. You got a free beer. I got a free beer, except for I paid an extra $800 for my ticket. And then you got a box with nothing in it, goldfish. Yeah. I got a box with nothing in it.
Your box looked like a Happy Meal. It was just this thin cardboard box.
Right.
I'm surprised a toy didn't come with it.
And you had leg room. You had the same. Essentially had a first class ticket because first class has been dumbed down to coach. Like literally no glasses. Like you can't have a glass physically of wine or a glass of beer or champagne. Everything was just in a plastic cup, the kind that are in the bathrooms and bad motels. That's it. And again, I obviously there's a meeting. Like somebody goes, look, man, these are lean times. We got to cut the Sprite out of these long flights or whatever. But how does that go? Like there's no – also, if I were flight attendant, I would smuggle Sprite onto that goddamn flight and a soda water. Like, I'm not going to tell people in first class who ask for a Jack and Coke, we don't have a miniature bottle of Jack Daniels and we don't have a miniature Coke. It's at night. It's a nighttime long flight.
Matt DeAndrea, who sat next to you in first class, came back to me saying the same things. They don't have soda water here. This is crazy. But look, they only sat half of first class. I bet you can come up there and join us. And I looked over, saw your food. No, I'm good.
First class was literally a push from coach for Max Zapata.
Yeah. Yeah, these days I can't imagine why you – I mean, and Max Zapata – or Chris, was it a dinky little plane?
It was a 737.
It was the first. It was a turn right, first class. No doubt about it. Nothing spectacular. But it was the kind of thing that in the past you're given up a little knee room, and you're not flying in the full coffin with the full recline and the whole cocoon and everything like that. But you would have made up for it in booze on ice. Mm-hmm. And now they've eliminated. I can't believe they got rid of the hard stuff. The little mini traveler bottles. There were 8 people in first class, like all total. Like you could have literally, like when you go to Vendome or wherever you buy your booze, and they have those little sort of mini packs of like the Tito's Travelers. Mm-hmm. It's like a little cardboard thing. And they're little 1.5 ounce. And they're the size of a brick. And there's 10 little Tito's bottles in there. That's all you would have needed for that entire flight. Like that. Mm-hmm. That's all it would have taken. One of that for a Jack Daniels, one for Tito's. You'd be covered. Nope. They ain't doing it.
Yeah, I'm surprised because they weren't serving any drinks the last few flights we've been on, and then they moved to beer and wine. What's the difference with adding the hard liquor now that you've opened it up?
Well, we weren't in first class our last few flights. We were like Southwest.
But that was water only for everybody.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. All right, look, there's never been a better time to bring your own booze on a flight, people. I mean, it's gonna turn into like we're going to have to start tailgating before we get onto that plane. Like this is a no booze stadium. Like we're going to have to meet you at LAX in parking lot D about 2 hours before we leave, or we're just going to have to fucking sit out in the back and get loaded before we climb onto that flight. Because
DELTA.
Yeah, we're going to have to do that. We're going to have to do like when you go to the Hollywood Bowl, and you just sit out and picnic and bring your own booze, right?
And you know why you do that? Because you know in advance.
Right.
Literally the least they can do is let you know that this is how it's going to go down for 4.5 hours. So prepare yourself.
Yeah, they should tell you, here's this. You think you bought a first class ticket. Let me explain something in advance. You're going to spend 30% of your time on a municipal bus and there shall be no booze. It'll be in a plastic jar. So good luck. Like, know that going in emotionally.
Adam, did you watch?
And by all means, tell you after your credit cards right. run. Just make sure you know before you get on the plane.
Did you watch any movies? Did you
no,
look at the selection?
I was too busy complaining to Matt about
it. There were two movies on the plate. You select all movies. It was two movies. It was Zodiac and Uncle Buck.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's so random. What the heck?
Uncle Buck. So, so that's what we did. We got in pretty late. Got to the hotel about 1. The low information hotel. This is I was told at breakfast. Max Pata was not there. He was setting up down at the Z Car convention for Matt and I. But I was told there's 3 of us, and this is one of those perfect things because not only did the person behind the desk screw up, but then Matt altered his plan. So the deal was I had a room. Chris and Matt were going to share a room with 2 separate beds inside of the room. And we checked in at about 1 a.m. last night. I got my room, and then Chris and Matt got their room, and they went to their room, and there was a single queen-size bed.
Oh,
and the
cozy.
Room.
Yeah.
And then so Matt said, we got to switch to a room with 2 beds. And
I said, fine.
It was that. Yeah. And isn't it gayer when you go to a room with 2 beds and you both end up in the same bed? Like that's gayer, yeah. Right? At least there's an excuse for the at least the cleaning woman has context when you have 2 beds.
We like to line a new bed each night. That's
all
why.
Right. So. You guys then at 1 a.m. like go down to switch rooms, and what do you find out?
Oh, so we go into the room with the 2 twin beds. I look at our reservation, and we both have...
So you switch to the 2 twins. So you get rid of the one
bed. We get rid of the one. We go downstairs. We switch our keys. Right. Go back up to the 20th floor, and now we have 2 twin beds. We're in bed. We're all unpacked. We brushed our teeth. We're under the covers, looking at our phone. I'm reading the emails for the show tomorrow, and I look at our reservations, and I notice that Matt and I have 2 different confirmation numbers.
Oh.
So I ask Matt, and he goes, I don't know what you're talking about. So we look at it, and he says, you should call and check. And I call the front, and I go, hey, this is – and she knows our name. She's like, oh, hey, Matt DeAndrea, what's going on? And I say, I just want to see if – is there another reservation? She goes, yeah.
Oh, my God.
There's 3 total? Yeah. And you saw 3 of us – walking in.
So is this information you'd like to share with the people in your empty lobby at 1 a.m. who are checking into your hotel after flying all day?
Like, it was so matter of fact when she said it. I couldn't believe it.
Well, this is my Mike August thing where it's like, you didn't ask. Like,
it was very Mike August.
You're the person who works at the place with the rooms. Why didn't you just present this information to us up front?
And then,
there's a third
room. And then
Chris
hangs up the phone. Matt asks, and he goes, nope, no change.
That's right. There's a third room, and there's 3 adult males, and you don't offer that up. You just
and the fact that we called to switch to a room with 2 beds.
Right.
Oh,
so
we're confused.
Now Matt has switched to a room with 2 beds versus the 1 bed, and he has to sleep with the vacant bed, which always it just taking up space and not using it, whatever. So you go through that whole rigmarole, and there is a third room for you.
So, Chris, you left again, or you stayed and snuggled?
I left again. Well, 1, because Matt said that he didn't want to raise any questions with both of us going, because Nissan paid for the room, so he didn't want us to look like we only used 2 rooms and we made them pay for nothing. So it just looks better that we used the other room.
And also, speaking of the hotel, now here's the big dilemma we're all in. They give you the breakfast gift card that's good at the shop down below. You could get a breakfast sandwich or protein drink, and you could eat breakfast at the diner and blah blah blah. Each card is good for $48, or maybe it's $47.50.
No, it's $48.
$48. Yeah. So now you have to think about the wiring of Matt, me, and Chris. Me and Matt eat our breakfast, and it comes to like $45 that we just pay with the card. No problemo. But then Matt says, let me take a card, and I'm going to go to the shop and get a Red Bull. Well, the Red Bull's $5. The card, once you give them the card, it's no good anymore. So if you want to spend $48 for a Red Bull, you can. But the card is good for $48, And whenever you lay it down, that's what it's worth. So if you ordered
can't be reused.
Yeah, if you ordered $14 worth of Red Bull and breakfast sandwich, that card for $50 is now gone.
Yeah.
So
I also found that out this morning.
So Matt buys his Red Bull with cash. No, he charges it to the room, which means let Nissan pay for it. Now I got $48. I'm not going to pay $48 for Red Bull. But then he comes back to the table and he's like, not only do we have three of these cards left, but when Chris got his room last night, he got two more cards. So now we got to figure out a way to get $48 worth of sandwiches onto that plane times five now. So like Matt's like scheming. And I know Chris is scheming too. And I'm scheming too because it's all my wiring. I would never go, screw the card, leave it on the bed. Like I'd be like, no. We are going to use that card. We're going to clean them out of breakfast sandwiches and I will hand them out on that goddamn plane. And by the way,
we cut to the next show. Adam sipping out of a mug. This is Nashville Airport Hilton.
Yes. I will get three blowjobs on that plane when I hold up a breakfast sandwich and they look down at their burnt offerings of their Skittles and crackers. I will get a blowjob in the bathroom of that airplane if I have one of those breakfast sandwiches. So now the pressure's on us because we have, I think we have four more of these cards now. I used one for breakfast.
I used one this morning.
You made a mistake of using one?
Yeah.
You didn't know?
No, I had no idea. I go to the restaurant, and it's just this
you
little...
You bought like a latte for $48?
Right. Well, no. So I sit down at the restaurant, and I'm looking at the menu, and it says, show this to your service, and you sit down. So I show it to her, and she says, what do you want? And I'm looking, and it's like $15 an omelet.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, so what can I get? Because I thought, it's probably good for $10, and then I pay the extra $5. And she goes, it's good for $48.
Right.
And I go, oh, wow, okay. So I ordered like the mega omelet, which is $18. And then she's just helping me get all these sides. She's trying to rack it up too because it's included gratuity. It has an 18% gratuity. So she's helping me rack this up as close to $48.
Oh, because she's getting 18% of 48.
Yeah.
So
so I was hurting this morning. So I ate it all.
You ate it all. So now we got to figure out a way to max out those last four cards. So we got essentially $200 or $92 worth of stuff, and we got to go into that snack shack and clean that place out before we get on that flight tomorrow.
Well, luckily we've had the experience with Casino Bucks, so I feel like I know what I'm doing here.
Seasoned veteran.
Can we use? I know we did the Casino Bucks thing with stupid Mike, and Mike's ordering like the pork fried rice and the shrimp fried rice. I'm like, you're filling us up on carbs, Mike. Come on,
crab legs.
That was the funniest story when we were at like P.F. Chang's in Atlantic City, and Mike and I were obsessed. Like, we got to spend $300 on this sitting. We got to max out this thing. And at some point, a couple of drinks came over, and it's like the table, the husband and wife team, like, hey, Ace Man, love your work. We're like, take it back.
You went full Jimmy Conway.
Yeah, we're like, get it.
Send it back.
Send it back. Take it. And they're like, enjoy your cocktail. We're like, no, we're buying you drinks. And they're like, what? We're leaving. Take it. Like, it was like, we're so obsessed with Max. And by the way, you can pad the shit out of it with drinks because you have a few cocktails. You get to $75 like pretty fast.
This is Brewster's Millions Restaurant Edition.
That's right. We should use those at the bar. Can we use those at the bar? No bar.
I try. No alcohol.
Oh, God damn it.
Oh,
really?
My God. They know what they're doing.
God bless you for trying to drink at 8:45 in the morning before we do a show. I like your headset. Yeah. I like your headset, son, before you make the drive out to Nissan. The 40-minute drive out to Nissan. So there's that. One other thing I got to address, which is sound. Now, we've kind of discussed this. We were talking about this the other day, which is like, I think we were talking about it yesterday, which is like in 2000 and almost 21, why all the power lines strung on the old grizzled telephone poles littering the landscape? Can I say this? Sound pollution. So there's a giant construction project going on next door to this hotel. Anyone who stayed in Manhattan understands that you can be on the 28th floor, but the sirens going up and down the street are clear as a bell. Like, in a weird way, almost more clear on the 20th floor than they are in the 5th floor. I don't feel like there's any drop off between So, you know, we got in at 1 a.m. We got a long day today. I'm trying to get some sleep, and it's 7 a.m. It's just neat, 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 because there's the construction site, and there's all the cement trucks, and they're backing up, and they're backing up all the skip loaders, and every single thing. I mean, like, Ford pickup trucks now have the neat, 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 and I'm just starting to think to myself, how many of those have you heard versus how many have you ever stepped aside? Like, has anyone ever used it? Everyone's on a construction site. Put your head on a swivel. Shit's moving around. Fine. But technologically, can we do better than the 50 decibels that comes out of the speaker, the bumper, that just lets everyone from a four-mile radius know we're working at 7:05 in the morning? Just neat, neat, you know, garbage trucks coming up and down the street, municipal trucks, like neat, neat. Like, I used to live in the canyon. I would hear the garbage trucks on the other side of the canyon. Like, I could see them a half mile away on the other side. Just neat, 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 just all the way through the canyon. Sometimes the guys just put it in reverse and just keep it there, and they're not even moving or rolling. But is there a sound that can be heard by dogs or humans that are standing 10 feet behind this truck that is not necessarily a universal sound that will carry up into the heavens? And as I lay in my hotel bed on floor 23 with you guys, you know, 250 feet below me and across the street, where I won't lay in bed and just hear meep, meep, meep. Like, it, I'm 300 feet away from the back of this cement truck. Why is it clear as a bell to me? And if it is, shouldn't we work it out so that the person who's 10 feet behind the truck can hear it, but the person that's 300 feet behind the truck doesn't hear it? And is there a frequency, a tone, or something that will work, or even a light combo? Yes, Gina Grad.
Yeah, the answer is yes. There should be, and apparently there is, because I remember a few years ago we did a story like this, but what I just pulled up doesn't sound like the one that we've spoken about in the past. This is from 2015. So where's the retrofitting? This one says the new alarms produce a hissing noise and the sound is directional, so pedestrians can identify where it's coming from. The alarm can also be set at much quieter levels as they use a broadband frequency that can be localized. So, Right. Yes, it is possible.
Right. So
let's get on board.
You literally have a bunch of guys working construction. When I did construction, you were rolled out by 7 a.m. That's just how it goes. It's 7 a.m. to 3:30. You have a whole bank of a huge high-rise. We're staying at a JW Marriott, I think. It's the restaurant on the top's like on the 35th floor. I mean, this place has 800 units in it. And if you go an entire wall, entire side of this hotel faces that construction site, and everybody who's in one of those rooms wakes up at 7:05 when the action starts. Why can't we calibrate this? Why can't we work this in? Like, why can't we figure it out? Like I said, yeah, it makes the hissing sound. Like, my grandfather, when he used to wake me up to take a piss when I was 9 years old after he'd watched Johnny Carson at 1 a.m., he'd just come in and go, ch-ch-ch. He'd make a weird little sound, like a ch, and I'd go, huh? And I'd wake up. Like, it was, he wouldn't go, beep, beep, beep. Like, I would just wake up. It's doable.
Well, and the very last line of this paragraph is, the alarm volume will adjust automatically to the background noise so as not to be any louder than necessary.
Right. So the moral of the story is, it exists, but
everything's possible.
Everything's possible. But the part you really need to know about life is, the guy who's driving the truck is awake, is getting paid, is not traveling, is not staying in the hotel, and it doesn't mean two shits to him whether he wakes up an entire side of a building or not, because he's dressed, he's in a loveless relationship, and he's driving a cement truck. And we need to get him to care. That's the difference. All the people that could change it are awake and getting paid. They're on a construction site, so they don't care.
It's, you know, I think about this all the time in Los Angeles. It's like the guy with his windows rolled up who won't lay off his horn. He is literally the one person who can't hear it the way everybody else does.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing, motivation. All right, we will take ourselves a break. What are we doing when we come back, Max Pata? A little more Max Pata room, little kibitz dog.
You have a dishwasher rant that I think people need to hear.
I got a dishwasher rant that you people need to hear, and I got thoughts. We'll do that right after this.
For just $25, you get wine and gifts. Ace's favorite stuff or products from ACS. Every single month, you get the drink you choose. It's hard to beat. Stuff and booze. Adam's Monthly Nut. Adam's Monthly Nut.
You heard Dick. It's time for another ballsy month of Adam's Monthly Nut. This month includes two Vinnie Tortorich approved and invented ultra fat instant energy packs so you don't reach for that donut. Four shot glass ice molds so you can keep your whiskey cold and straight down the hatch. A bottle of Chateau Spill to remove wine stains or blood from the fine silk you're donning. Of course, a bottle of your choice and the coup de grace, a digital download of the very first basic cable commentary, Roadhouse. This $60 value can be yours for only $25 at CorollaDrinks.com.
All right, so I'm here in Maxipata's room. I'm heading off to... Now, while I'm in Nashville, I'm heading to another part of Tennessee to do the Nissan thing. It's kind of nice. You know, I always talk to you guys about don't feel like you're part of a club, especially with your ethnicity or your heritage or whatever. It's just this America. Go out, make hay while the sun shines and all that kind of stuff. But that being said, I will say I'm out here with the Z Club guys, and I got a bunch of Datsun Z cars. It's kind of nice when people like know who you are and know what you got and know you drive them and race them and all that stuff. So that's what I'm out here doing. I think Tennessee is Nissan moved out of where did he say they were?
Osaka?
Gardena. No, they were in, Gardena, California, and
moved. That's right.
They moved out here to Tennessee. It's probably been probably 8 years, maybe 10 years.
Are you going to swing by?
Yeah, BMW's. I think BMW's out here too.
Are you going to swing by Pigeon Forge?
Sorry, say it again, Gina.
Are you going to swing by Pigeon Forge? See Dolly's house?
Yeah, I did see a Dollywood sign on the freeway. Yeah, it was a big deal.
And you're not going?
And and VW may be out here. You're probably right. BMW moved to one of the Carolinas, I think, as I okay. recall, but to try to clear it up. But I do remember, I think Drew and I were doing a college out in one of the Carolinas once, and we were up in first class back when they had glasses. And
Wake Forest?
Alan Thicke was, probably one of those. Yeah.
I'm just throwing it out.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't remember. But Alan Thicke was on our flight. That's all I remember. With his third wife, who was like, you know, Miss whatever, runner up, Kentucky, whatever. But here's a couple thoughts. I just found out, tell me what you guys think of this. I got a text from one of my car guys that Tom Cruise's race car from when he raced with Paul Newman. So in the Newman documentary, they show that part where they met doing Color of Money. And then Paul said to Tom, now it's all making sense with Tom doing his crazy dirt bike wheelie pack, jumping off the ramps with all the motorsport stuff. But he said to young Tom, like, hey, you want to come racing? I'm going racing. And then I bet Nissan would love to build you a car and get you a sponsorship and blah, blah, blah. And so Cruise had a race car built for him by Newman Sharp, his race team, and Nissan. And he was racing in a lower division in his 200SX. And Newman was driving in the Z cars, a slightly higher division, but they'd be in the same race weekends and everything. And I have from back in the day, from Bob Sharp, I have Tom's fire suit and Tom's helmet from back then. And now his car, I think, is coming up for sale. So that would be an interesting little chapter, a little get a little mannequin, put the fire suit on it, put the helmet on it, and then do the get the car from back in the day. Do you think
what's the estimate on that?
I have no idea. I just got a text before I got onto the plane, and I feel bad because I texted the guy back. The guy sent me a text, and I was like, "Oh, all right." And I texted him back on the plane, but it's not going through because, I don't know. I can't text on a plane. But I was like, "Yeah, when I land, it'll go through." And then when I woke up this morning with a need, need, need at 7:30, I looked at it and was like, "Oh, hasn't gone through yet." And I just hit send. And then I realized that I just texted him at 5 in the morning his time because I got a 2-hour time difference. And he texted me right back, so he's a winner, man. So
I was going to say, that's on him if that wakes him up. You got to turn your phone on Do Not Disturb.
I concur, but he texted me right back. So I have no idea, but it'll be interesting, and it could be a nice little corner of the museum with all the Tom Cruise stuff going on out there. We have the dishwasher bit that was from Ace on the House. I had a small conniption with the Stromer to play as well. And then what else did I want to get into around here? Well, why don't we just do that? So I was doing Ace on the Roof with the Ace on the House with the Stromer last week. Somebody asked a question about a second dishwasher. I threw a small fit about it, and I thought that'd be funny to play that. So we'll play that, and then we'll talk about it when it's done. I've gone through this my adult life. The other day, I opened the drawer for where the silverware was, and there was no forks. And then Olga said, "It's in the dishwasher." And then you open the dishwasher, and you have to fiddle around a little because the knives and the forks or whatever, and you find the one you want, you poke your finger, and you pull it out. And then you have this discussion. Is the stuff in the dishwasher, is it clean or is it dirty? And then you go, "I don't know. I think it's..." Then you pull it out and you like sniff it. And then maybe you wash it, rinse it off anyway, just not taking a chance. I then make this proclamation. We stand at the sink and we dutifully rinse off everything and often wipe off everything that goes into the dishwasher. Why not spend an extra 8 seconds on every item and then put it in the rack and then we will have our plates? When everyone clears out of the house, I'll have like a plate, a bowl, and a spoon, and I'll eat some cottage cheese out of the bowl, and then I just go to the water and I rinse it out with hot water and I rub it out and I just set it back in the thing. And then everyone else says to me, "Oh my God, that's gross." And I go, "I don't get why it's gross. There's nothing in the bowl, but it's not really clean." And I go, "Well, it's dry. It's dry. It dries overnight. There's nothing can live on this dry surface." And they go, then they'll turn to their friend. This is Chick. This is how chicks think. They go, "You know how the stuff, when you wash it, but you don't put it in the dishwasher, has that weird, like, musty smell?" And then their friend goes, "Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I know exactly. Oh, you do. You do, nutty, crazy, gypsy women from the hills. You know what. By the way, you want me to rinse one out and then get one from the fucking dishwasher? And we'll do a thing. We'll hang your kid over a fucking pit of alligators, and you tell me if you can smell the difference, you gypsy witches." And they go, "Okay, of course they can." And then they go, "But it needs to be clean." And I go, "It is clean. It's clean. You're at the sink. You just wash it out." And it's like, "Yeah, but it's not really clean." And also they start gauging it like, "Well, maybe if you ate a plate of doll hair, that would be fine. But you're eating lasagna and that leaves a film. It leaves a grease." I was like, "You're at the sink. You're running hot water. You have a sponge. Just wash it and then just set it in the fucking rack. It's 8 inches away. No, you want to fucking load up the dishwasher, put all the shit in it, run the dishwasher, which is a huge fucking suck. It's like a huge
hour and a half.
it's a huge energy suck. And then later on, open it up and then pull all the shit out. The worst posture ever is the thing. The fucking dishwasher drawer, the action is always bad on the rack. Like the action, you pull it out, it gets off its tracks. It's like, is it on its track? No, no, it's binding. Lift it up when you push it back. Or because we own sinks, hot, clean water, soap, and sponges and brushes and everything else, we could just clean our plates. We're 3/4 into the cleaning process. I mean, let's really break down the process of cleaning a goddamn plate. First, transportation. We got to get it from the table to the sink. Okay, that part has been done. Then part two, we must run water, hot water, onto the plate and rinse it off and or wipe it off under the hot water. Okay, part two. Now, part three is you put it in the dishwasher, run the dishwasher, and then unload the dishwasher. My part three is adding 11 seconds to part two and then putting it in the motherfucking rack, which is sitting right there. And then everyone looks at me and goes, yeah, but that's gross. Yeah. And I go, how do you think everyone has done it through time immemorial? Number one. Number two, that's how we do it here. It's just glasses and cups and plates and people just wash it off and put it in the fucking rack. And it's like, we need a second dishwasher. And I'm like, for what? I don't get it. Just what if everybody just here's a crazy idea. It's a fad that could sweep the nation. What if people were just responsible for their own plate? But they went like, hey, use that plate. Then you just go rinse that plate off. You wash that plate off and you just put it in the rack and then it dries in the rack and then you reuse that plate. But that is that why such an exotic idea? Is that an exotic idea? I'm not working a fucking AIDS hospice. I don't need to sterilize everything that fucking leaves the kitchen. It's a fucking plate. It had this kind of food on it one night. Then it's going to have that kind of food on it the next night. We're not fucking surgeons. What's going on? Just fucking it had chicken on it last night. Good, rinse it off. Then we'll have steak the next night. What is this thing? We're saying, yeah, but you know, it smells weird. Well, then maybe you're not doing a good job of cleaning it. Right. But I bet you have access to hot water. You have access to suds. You have access to sponges with the Brillo pad side on it. Just fucking wipe it down and put it in the rack.
Oh, yeah. Well, here we are.
Here, here. I have very, very similar thoughts on the dishwasher. I haven't had a dishwasher in over 2 years.
Everyone disagrees.
My two thoughts are, A, growing up, there was nothing I hated more than unloading the dishwasher. Yes. Anybody who drew that straw, it was the worst. I hate dealing with dishwashers. And also, you know why the reason why your plates smell musty after you use a sponge? Because that's a dirty fucking sponge you should have thrown away.
God bless
if you replace
Gina
your
Gray.
Sponges like a human being, you will never have that problem. We don't have a dishwasher. I never think about it.
I got to tell you, my least popular takes in my adult life are Beastie Boys, Prince, and dishwashers. People universally disagree with me on those three takes, but God bless you, Gina Grad. You're with me on this one.
Yeah, no problem with this at all. In fact, I personally find doing the dishes like after dinner, like if they're going to go play in the other room, I find it kind of like calming. I'll just stand there. I'll do the dishes. I have my little squishy mat that I stand on, and that's kind of like a relaxing time for me. And then they're done. And then we move on with our lives.
Yeah, I think we're sort of germ obsessed here. I also think about how much energy and how much material, like how much water and how much like draining and heating and spin cycling and stuff. Like our sort of obsession, like if you think about this country, our obsession with cleanliness and hygiene probably costs a lot of natural definitely costs tons of natural resources, like showering every day with a hot shower for 10 minutes, you know, and sudsing up or using the dishwasher every night and that kind of stuff. Like it just probably, they don't really get into it when we're talking about resources and renewables and, you know, there's no green. It's funny when the green energy department, like in the world of green energy, we're like obsessed with travel. You know, it's always about cars and planes. But I don't know, everyone just washing the shit out of everything all the time. Like, you know, if I have a T-shirt and I like sweat up that T-shirt, I just air dry it and I'll put on the T-shirt the next day. I mean, I'm not going to a wedding or bar mitzvah. I'm just going to get sweaty again. Like, if we dialed it down a little bit, like, oh, yeah, you got your plates, rinse them off, suds them up and put them in the rack, let them air dry. Don't worry about the spots. Don't worry about the, you know, the sterilization of everything. And kind of the same with yourself. Like, hey, if you just took a quick cold rinse every day and hopped out of the shower versus the long hot, suds it up, boil the water, you know, natural gas or whatever it is, we could put a dent in energy savings. But we are so married to it. And it's interesting because in the hygiene aspect of it, we've turned it into a sort of a thing where it's like, oh, it's so gross, it's so smelly, like you got to clean off, you got to use that shampoo, like you got to use the antibacterial soap, like you got to suds it down and wash it off, otherwise it's gross. And we've done the same thing in the kitchen, like it's just gross. It's all, I think it's driven mostly by women, but I don't know, I think guys are on board with this too now.
Well, and just to add to your point, when you said, and we don't know, are these clean or are these dirty? Guess what a lot of people's answers are? I don't know. Just to be safe, run it again.
Yeah, run it again.
And also,
so now you're really wasting energy.
It started to dawn on me that if I pull the plate out of the dishwasher,
and dial it in,
and I look at it, and I look at the plate and I can't tell if it's clean or dirty. Maybe it's clean. Like, maybe you spent so much time rinsing it off and wiping it down before you put it in the dishwasher that it's ostensibly clean as you're putting it into the dishwasher. Anyway, remember Madge?
Dishpan hands.
Yes, she worked for Palmolive or whatever. And she was a manicurist and she would say, you're soaking in it. This was a theme. We got to figure this one out. So basically, here's the theme. We miss this commercial in the pantheon of all those commercials of like, he never has a second cup of my coffee. Like the dutiful wives, like not these women are washing so many dishes that they essentially have dishpan hands.
Yeah, that was a big thing when I was younger, dishpan hands.
Yeah, it's essentially what athlete's foot is to the track star. You have that because you wife, spend so many hours a day washing my dishes that there's now a syndrome attached to this activity. It's called dishpan hands. And Palmolive, I think, has created a product that can do away with this scourge known as dishpan hands. So now, Madge, who's the Palmolive spokesperson, also seems to work in a nail salon. And when people are coming into her nail salon and they're soaking their hands in this bowl of water, which is, I guess you would do it, you would then announce, sorry, Madge, I have dishpan hands from doing all my dishes. And she'd say, you should switch to Palmolive. That will not give you dishpan hands. And then you go, Palmolive. And then Madge says, you're soaking in it. I run a salon where you soak your fingers in dishwashing detergent. All right, let's see if we can see this commercial.
I just came from a rummage sale, Madge.
Yeah, I was wondering where you got these hands.
Oh, it's dishwashing. What'll I try?
Everything. And use Palmolive dishwashing liquid. It softens your hands while you do the dishes. You're soaking in it.
In dishwashing liquid?
Well, it's Palmolive.
Mild?
Well, more than mild. Makes loads of suds at last. And no kidding, Palmolive softens hands while you do the dishes.
Madge, Palmolive's as good as gold.
2 weeks later.
I better get these to Fort Knox.
Oh, my God.
Now you sit around, you turn on the TV, and there's like the biracial couple and it's the AIDS medication and you're like, yeah, what is going on with this commercial again? And like, it was simpler times.
Yeah. And, you know, speaking of dishwashing soap and good vibes, I can dovetail these nicely together because you know Match. How for soap, the thing we want to know most about is, will it clean, you know, what the atomic sludge off of my plates?
Right.
Well, remember when Dawn totally pivoted. I would love Christy's thoughts on this because it worked on me. It worked on the ladies. When Don completely went a different direction, never addressed cups, forks, spoons, plates, and just said, with the Exxon Valdez spill, this is the soap of choice to wipe off the little baby ducks and the little baby, all the waterfowl. And they got a customer for life now. They wipe off the ducks with it.
They should have piggybacked and the grease the Peking duck leaves on the plate after you order the Chinese. Like, done.
Speaking of duck.
You get it both coming and going. Yeah.
I will ask Christy about that because their parent company is Procter & Gamble, which she worked for many years.
Because, I mean, talk about that was amazing. And I would say even if you thought it was stupid, it worked.
The beginning of the good vibes era.
That's
Madge soaking in dishwashing detergent. And we were very shame-based back then. Like, oh, look who's got dishpan hands. Oh, my God, do you think my husband notices? Like, everyone was, like, worried about their house not being clean or the mother-in-law with the white glove or the coffee not being up to snuff or, like, your spots. They used to do – these were the Calgon spot maker or Calgonite spot maker commercial where it's, like, embarrassed. Like, every third commercial, here was the theme. My husband's boss and his wife are coming to dinner and everything must be perfect. And then at some point, the boss's wife looks at the wine glass with the spots on it, makes a sort of snarky remark about it, and you go into a shame spiral.
Dinner's ruined.
Gets fired the next
day.
Dinner's ruined.
If that happened now, just be like, hey, old bitch, get the fuck out of here. Who fucking needs your bitchy ass in my fucking ass? Fuck you. Like, that's what it'd be now. But now it's like shame spiral. Like, and everyone's looking at her like, oh, my God, there's spots on the wine glasses.
Yeah, that Madge campaign ran from 1966 to 1992.
92?
Hey, God.
66 Success. To 92, Madge was large and in charge with the Palmolive over there. And by the way, that was most of my childhood. Like, I just remember going, huh, good, Madge. Let's check in with Madge. What's she up to? It was like the most entertainment I had in my childhood was, hey, there's a Palmolive commercial coming on. Let's see if Madge has changed her hair. Oh, she's got a little salt and pepper in there. I guess she's getting a little long in the tooth. So it was like, let's check out where Madge is. Maybe Madge is working at a new salon now. Sometimes they'd mix it up where, like, Madge would go to the person's house, you know, and talk about Palmolive. You know, there's different environments for Madge. So a lot of my entertainment was from either seeing what's going on with Madge, seeing what's going on with Juan Valdez, the Hills Brothers.
Oh, sure.
Juan would pick the beans for Hills Brothers. And
just outside your window.
I could always remember. I remember having these weird, you know, your earliest comedic thoughts are sort of in commercials, like when you're a kid. You want to do parodies, you know, like you want to do these little wacky pack type parodies and stuff of commercials. And I remember very early comedic thoughts I was having, and they were like Seinfeld routine thoughts, but I was having them when I was 10, but I didn't know what they were, which is one of the ones, I think Hills Brothers or U-Ban or one of these coffee commercials, they had like Juan Valdez. And Juan Valdez had his pack mule, and he's roaming the hills of Colombia, and he's like picking no bean before it's time. Like he's looking under, he's looking under a leaf. It's like, this one's a little green. You know, he's thumping it. Like this is one bean. Like Hills Brothers sells 400 million metric tons of coffee worldwide every year. There's no way one guy with a pack mule is going, this one's not quite right. I'll come back tomorrow and pick this bean, this one bean, you know. But I remember watching that, and then they had a companion piece, and I think it was Hills Brothers, but it could have been another one, which is the super picky Hills Brother coffee broker. He bought coffee beans, right? And so he would be at the port, and he'd be in his, like, shack at the port. And, like, the guy would come in and go, would you like to buy these beans? And he'd, like, sniff them and go, not good enough for Hills Brothers. Like, not good enough. And then the next guy would come in and go, would you purchase our beans? Like, no, No, we have standards. And I remember being 10 going, at some point, you got to make a fucking pot of coffee, right? Like, somebody's going to have to buy a bean or pick a bean here. There's
no coffee this year.
Yeah, how are we going to keep the shelves at the Alpha Beta stocked with Hills Brothers if all your guys are giant snobs and no bean is good enough for them?
Apparently, this is what I'm learning here. Juan Valdez was not a spokesperson for a brand, specifically like Folgers.
Oh, like Colombian beans.
For the National Federation of Coffee Growers of Colombia. Kind of like, you know, you have real California cheese,
right.
You have milk, you know, got
yeah,
milk.
like the hot dog defense league that Cesario yeah, talks
exactly.
about. It's a generic organization. They defend all hot dogs versus, yes, he represented the beans, the Colombian beans, and the Hills Brothers guy, I guess, was the broker, and nothing was good enough for him. Yes.
Wow.
All right. Oh, let me hit a spot here. Speaking of commercials here. Oh, ZipRecruiter. Hiring? Well, hiring is hard normally, but not now. Now you got ZipRecruiter. And there's all sorts of government regulations and all sorts of rules going on with COVID right now. So it's a little bit tricky to navigate. But ZipRecruiter, well, they're your friend. They can help. Monica Starks needed to hire for her construction company, GS Group, but was having a hard time finding folks and good qualified candidates. So she switched to ZipRecruiter. And when she switched to ZipRecruiter, she found candidates and invites them to apply, as ZipRecruiter does. And she's found Lamont Jenkins. Found him in 5 minutes after she posted on the job site on ZipRecruiter. Now she's hired accountants and project managers and field scientists, and all done it through ZipRecruiter. 4 out of 5 employers who post with ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Right, Dawson?
See for yourself how ZipRecruiter makes hiring faster and easier. Try it now for free. That's right, free at ZipRecruiter.com/Adam. That's ZipRecruiter.com/ADAM. ZipRecruiter.com/Adam.
Gina?
We forgot a very, very important part of 70s commercials that if you asked anyone born after, I don't know, 1990, what this was, they would have no idea. Ring around the collar.
Mm.
Big problem in the 70s and 80s.
Another big shame vortex yeah. for a wife to fall right. into. Like,
yeah, what a failure as a homemaker.
She'd give you your shirt. It would have ring around the collar.
Yeah.
Someone would notice it at a cocktail party, and you were kaput as a wife. Yes. They were all – so many of these commercials were kind of based on the woman and shame and not basically – it was a combination between not pleasing her man and not keeping up with the Joneses, like not pleasing yeah. her man and then being outed by the other wife who did use Woolite or whatever, got rid of ring around the collar, not embarrassed.
Yeah. And then yeah. she takes pity on you and gives you her secret.
Yes.
She pulls you aside.
Yeah. yeah. And then there was, of course, the ancient Chinese secret, too, which
oh,
is
that's right.
Calgonite. Or Calgon, yeah. Calgonite.
Calgon
did the bath stuff?
Calgon, take me away. I have a list here. Let's see.
Right.
And Calgon's on here. Yeah, Calgon water softener.
Right. So that was in the bath after a long day of making coffee and extinguishing the scourge known as ring around the collar. You deserved a nice hot bath. Also, like I said, I would just marvel when I was a kid at the dress at night. Like, everyone had slippers and does anybody wear pajamas? They had robes, slippers, pajamas. Like, people got dressed to go to
yeah.
bed.
They the Bradys wore, sure did.
The Bradys and the Partridge Family, those kids wore more to go to bed than yeah. I wear to leave the house.
Like, I bought pajamas recently as a novelty because this is the first time in my life I was like, oh, that would be fun to have pajamas. Never in my life has it ever occurred to me until now.
Is pajama only really good for the back sleepers? Because I'm a belly side, hands under the face sleeper,
yeah.
and the shirts get tangled up and pulled. Like, I'll put it to you this way. I've taken many a nap. Some of them were naps. Some of them were like buzzed afternoon crashing sessions, like drank too many IPAs watching the early game and stretched out for a nap. I can take a nap in jeans, tennis shoes, and a T-shirt on my back. if you flip over to the face, now we're starting to get tangled up. And back sleepers can do pajamas. Yeah. Face under the forearms under the forehead sleepers, I start getting wound up in those things. All right, let me just hit J.B. Weld, and then we'll break and do some news. J.B. Weld, proud sponsor of the Adam Carolla Show, epoxy adhesive brand used by both pros and DIYers, trusted for over 50 years, and it's available at jbweld.com or wherever you get your adhesives. All right, take a quick break. We'll come back and do the news with Gina Grad right after this.